Hour of the program here on X's and Bros throughout the great state of Michigan. Here on the Michigan Sports Network, we are live in Flint on WTRX Sports Extra 1330 AM. We're on in Grand Rapids on WMAX 96.1 FM, The Game, in Cadillac, WKAD, The Ticket 93.7 FM, in Grayling and Gaylord. Up North Sports Radio, WGRY 101.1 FM. The Tri-City area carries us in Midland and Saginaw, and Bay City on the Mitt, WLUN 100.9 FM. In Petoskey and Charlevoix, The Ticket, Northern Michigan, WMBN 104.7 FM. And in Traverse City on The Ticket on WKAD 93.7 FM. Ben is our producer. I'm Matt Shepard. Welcome to X's and Bros. We replayed the Dave Burkett interview from yesterday because, well, we have different listeners at different times. So I wanted to give those of you up and early with us on a Wednesday morning the opportunity to listen to Dave a little bit. We will, a little bit later on, a half hour from now, we will discuss a little more football with Benjamin Raven. He's the writer for MLive. He covers the Lions and the NFL. So we will talk to him coming up at the bottom of the hour. In case you missed it yesterday, Tigers and Cardinals split. We started the show talking about how managers get second-guessed, probably as much, if not more, than offensive coordinators. It depends on who you want to talk to about that. Let's not forget that they did win the nightcap. Wensel Perez had a couple of home runs. First time in his major league career, he has a multi-homer game. Good for him. Riley Green played well in both games. NHL, Toronto stayed alive with a 2-1 overtime win in Boston. What a game. Matthew Nyes with his first career overtime playoff winner. John Tavares really made the play. I mean, he went strong to the net. Came up the right side, went strong to the net, fended off the defenseman with one hand, and was able to get a shot on net, and then Nyes was there to bang in the rebound. Joseph Woll started for Toronto in net, made 28 saves. He was fantastic. Carolina doubled up the Islanders 6-3. They win the series in five games. Seth Jarvis had a goal and two helpers. Carolina now gets the Rangers. That'll be a really good series. Carolina's big. They're strong. Rangers have a lot of depth. That'll be fun. Nashville scores twice in the third. They edge Vancouver 2-1 to stay alive. And Colorado beat Winnipeg, scoring three times in the third. They win it 6-3 to win the series 4-1. Mikko Rantanen had 3 points, two goals in the final period in a span of about 4 minutes. He was a plus four, took four shots. Avs won the last 4 games of the series. Not surprised at the result, surprised at the number of games played. It was a great series. Colorado is... It's funny. How does... Used to hate Colorado, right? Because of their rivalry with the Wings. Seriously. I mean, hated them. I don't care who was on that team. You respected Joe Sakic. You respected Peter Forsberg. You had to respect Patrick Waugh. But you hated them, right? No doubt. Now you look at them and you're like, that team's really fun to watch. I'd like my team to be like that team. I would love to have that type of talent. Colorado scored 5 goals or more in every single game. Winnipeg became the first team in NHL history to allow 5 or more goals in each of the first 5 games of the postseason. Avalanche outscored them 28-15 overall in the series. They're tough, man. It's going to be really, really tough. They are so well balanced. I'm talking about Colorado now. Former Michigan player Andrew Cogliano is on that team. But Lekkonen's really good. McKinnon's a star. He's a superstar. Niskushin is... Goal had was a plus three last night. Ratton and Arter told you about. Then on the blue line, you know, they got guys like Cale Makar, who's fantastic. He's one of the best defensemen in the world. Devin Toews is pretty good, too. Anyway, so Colorado advances in very impressive fashion. NBA, Sixers beat the Knicks 112-106. Tyrese Maxey, pumped in 46 and had 9 assists. Folks, he was the 21st pick in the 2020 draft. So when you look back at the 2020 draft, how many times do you hear Detroiters say, could have had Tyrese Haliburton? He was taken 12th. Pistons blew it. Could have had him. They chose Killian Hayes 7th overall. Don't forget Tyrese Maxey, because he was 21st overall in that draft. When you have that debate, that's probably not even a debate because no one's going to argue it. But when you think about that draft, people will immediately go to Anthony Edwards. He was the first overall pick out of Georgia. He was phenomenal. Here has been phenomenal for Minnesota. Has turned that team around, that franchise around. They're the one seed in the West. Tied a franchise record for regular season wins. Then went James Wiseman, who's now a Piston and has not done anything worthy of a number two overall pick. Then LaMelo Ball. And after that, go ahead and, I mean, nobody's really done anything. But Haliburton did at 12. And then Maxey at 21. This is what happens in the NBA draft now. I've said this for a long time. You need, and these two examples kind of fly in the face of that, but obviously Haliburton should have been a much higher pick. When he was at Iowa State, he was a really good player. And I'm not afraid to admit that that's the guy, when I was talking to people back in 2020, that's the guy I wanted. But they were him or the other guy was Obi Toppin from Dayton. I thought he was National Player of the Year, but that's not the reason I wanted him. But those two guys were on my, I'd never seen Killian Hayes play because he was from France. So how the hell am I going to know about Killian Hayes unless you watch video? And if you're watching video, it's primarily highlights, right? So I was completely kind of out to lunch on that. But with the NBA, if you're not getting a relatively high pick, good luck. It used to be a 7-round draft. We said this yesterday. We were talking about different players. You know, somebody brought up who is the more important player for their franchise, Joe Dumars for the Pistons or Chris Osgood for the Red Wings. So we were making those cases, and during the Dumars draft, we had mentioned that it was, you know, a 7-round draft, and that Spud Webb was also taken by the Pistons that year in the 4th round. Never played for the Pistons, obviously. Now it's a 2-round draft. It's much more international, too. However, and a lot of this probably has to do with coming out of college. How many of these guys are really impact players? Like the Pistons took Sadiq Bey in that 2020 draft out of Villanova. Really like him. He's a good player. I don't think he's a great player, but taken 19th overall. Actually, Brooklyn took him, I think. Anyway, but he was 19th overall. Would you take him on your team? Coming off the bench, yeah. How many first-rounders, though, from that draft, for example, are difference makers? There's not many. Because there's a lot of guys leaving college early and not really developing. Anyway, really good performance by Maxey to keep Sixers' hopes alive. Cavs edged the Magic 104-103. Donovan Mitchell had 20. It could have been a Piston. Cleveland's up 3-2. And the Bucks over the Pacers 115-92. Bobby Portis and Chris Middleton each with 29. Indiana leads that series 3-2. Milwaukee has done this without Giannis Antetokounmpo. Damian Lillard did not play yesterday. They missed two of their superstars, and yet they still win. That's interesting. Tells you something about that team a little bit. Although Indiana will probably knock them out in Game 6. Bottom of the hour, we talk a little more NFL and Detroit Lions with MLive beat writer Benjamin Raven. We're back with more on X's and Pros right after this.
Huge here for the Michigan High School Athletic Association. You can stay up to date on the latest from Lansing 24/7 at MHSAA.com, at MHSAA on Twitter, and MHSAA on Facebook. The latest news, press releases, and stories connected to every high school in the state of Michigan available for you 24/7 from the Michigan High School Athletic Association. Log on to MHSAA.com, at MHSAA on Twitter, and MHSAA on Facebook. And if you're looking for archive boys and girls high school sports, MHSAA.com. TV. That's MHSAA.TV. 24/7, everything you need to know about high school sports in Michigan. Log on to MHSAA.com.
We're teeing off our 10th year at the Meijer LPGA Classic for Simply Give. Get ready for the best tour yet to help neighbors in need while enjoying golf, food, and family fun. Join us June 13th through the 16th at Blythefield Country Club for fabulous food, Discoveryland for kids, and of course, elite women golfers from around the world competing to help feed our neighbors. Get your tickets now at MeijerLPGAClassic.com.
With you on X's and Bros. Hey, all morning long, I have misspoken. It is 8:35 with Benjamin Raven. 8:35. So my apologies if you were appointment listening at 7:35, but it's going to be at 8:35 with Ben Raven to talk a little Lions. Tomorrow, James Edwards of The Athletic will join us at 8:35 as well. But yeah, Ben Raven today, 8:35. Hope you can enjoy that opportunity, and maybe if you have a question or a comment or two, feel free to pass it along. We'll make sure we ask that of Ben as well. Welcome back, X's and Bros, here across the great state of Michigan. I know we got some texts that we want to get to for sure, and we will do that. But before we get rolling here, I just wanted to we had mentioned Jack Flaherty and the 7 strikeouts to start a game that tied the American League record. We mentioned Jack Flaherty and the Tigers overall, unfortunately falling 2-1 in Game 1, but coming back and taking care of business. I'm sure you've already noticed this, but I hope more and more companies like Nike are understanding this. The problem with the uniforms, the jerseys, you've noticed it right away. The uniforms with Major League Baseball, look, I don't wear them, so I can't say how it feels. I can tell you how it looks, in my opinion. And I can tell you how the back of the jersey with the name on it doesn't look great either. I know Brandon Nimmo's not happy with it. He said that, I think this past weekend, he said that the team has been unable to wear their black and blue uniforms because they don't have the correct pants. Now, that's obviously a problem. You got a $13 billion industry, had a tough time getting pants. It's a pretty important part of the wardrobe, don't you think? Yeah. But it really comes, especially when guys are coming out of the bullpen. Like I was watching yesterday and Jason Foley's trotting out there, and I'm like, the name just looks horrible. Wrong font, wrong size, just looks bad. It makes me wonder. I don't know why my brain goes here, but it does make me wonder. When teams are making this, or not teams, when the league is making this decision, how does that go? Are they around a conference table with coffee and danishes and looking at a presentation? And when they show the back of the jersey and you see the thin lines that make up someone's name, everyone's in agreement, nodding, saying, yeah, that looks really good. Then suddenly you see it on TV and you go, wait a minute, that's not what I thought I was going to get. Like, who makes these decisions thinking this looks good for the league? Not to mention, you know, obviously the pants are a problem. Obviously the texture and the type of material used is an issue. But just the look itself from Nike. Is it one big sellout? What are you having them handle your business for anyway? I mean, you're a $13 billion business, and that's what you end up with? I mean, I'd love to know what the prototypes look like before you decided on that one. Doesn't it make you go, man, who's in charge? Is there anybody who has an ounce of common sense with a lot of this stuff? And it's not just baseball, by the way. I mean, it's in a lot of sports and a lot of businesses. It's in government. It's a lot of that stuff. When you're looking at it, you're going, there's no way somebody can be that blind to be making that decision. Because it's universally panned. Players don't like it. Why don't you bring a player in? This is the same thing with the new rules. You know, when baseball implemented the new rules a couple of years ago, how many managers did they talk to? None. It's decided by people who aren't playing or managing the game. How much sense does that make? None. I think this happens in our society far too often, where you have people who feel like they're the smartest guy in the room all the time. And they just feel like in order to justify their title and their existence, you have to make the decisions. It's almost like it's a sign of weakness if you ask somebody who works beneath you, who you've hired, for their opinion. That's a joke. Managers are going to be making the decision that are going to affect players, affect franchises, affect their careers, but they don't have a say in any of the new rules? Weird, right? Bring players in. Bring managers in. Those are the ones that are affected. Anyway, there's going to be a change. Long story short, Major League Baseball is going to correct the uniform quote-unquote flaws, according to the MLB Players Association memo obtained by ESPN's Jeff Passan. Larger lettering on the uniform backs, making sure the uniform colors match. Oh, that's a good idea. And aren't as prone to showing sweat plus fixing the pants. Why do we always feel like we need to fix something that's not broken? Think of this. Major League Baseball, in the offseason, thought it was a good idea to go with a company. I mean, maybe you're afraid to criticize Nike. I don't know. Maybe they wield that much power. It's possible, I suppose. But they went into the offseason and they said, you know, let's get new uniforms. There's nothing wrong with the old ones, but let's get new ones. What are we going to do? We're going to put really thin lettering so it's harder to see. The colors aren't going to be quite the same as before. And I'm sure they sure didn't expect uniforms that show sweat, even though you would have thought there was some type of study to do this. And they're going to make that change. But let's not consult the people who matter most. Let's just do this on our own. Isn't it worse to have to go back and say you were wrong rather than consulting somebody who you think may not or doesn't deserve to have the final authority? Wouldn't you rather be right? I would. I think it's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous that you did this in the first place. Not that you got to go back to it. Honestly, you watched all the games a year ago. You're seeing guys' names on the back of their jerseys. Did it look bad? I mean, was there ever a topic of discussion at the dinner table while you're watching the Tigers play and you're going, you know what, I really don't like the way Riley Green's name is displayed on his back. I really wish there were thinner letters. You would think that's somewhat insignificant, right? And yet baseball felt like, you know what, here's what we need to do. If we wanted to sell more jerseys, how about making the names thinner? That's a good idea. The pushback has been constant and aggressive, and rightfully so. Now, baseball says this has entirely been a Nike issue. At its core, what has happened here is that Nike was innovating something that didn't need to be innovated. Neither did you, baseball. You had the final say. 8:35, Ben Raven will join us from MLive. We'll talk a little Lions. In the meantime, we get to your texts and your phone calls. The Meyer Hotline, 866-838-4843. When we return on X's and Bros across the great state of Michigan. Stay with us.
Bill Simonson here for my good friend Josh Garvey. Now, he's a managing shareholder at Dorn Mayhew's Grand Rapids office. Their world headquarters are in Troy, Michigan, on the east side of the state, and they have locations all around the world. They have over 550 motivated accounting professionals, 90 years in business, and I mentioned the 10 offices worldwide. So if you want to connect and partner with one of the top CPA accounting and business firms in the world, they're right here in Michigan. Dorn Mayhew's Troy office on the east side of the state, and Josh Garvey is a managing shareholder for their Dorn Mayhew GR office. Right there by the S-curve, you'll see the new Dorn Mayhew sign. You can find out more. Just Google Dorn Mayhew. That's D-O-E-R-E-N-M-A-Y-H-E-W or Dorn.com. They're one of America's and the world's top CPA accounting and business firms. They're Dorn Mayhew.
There's a new player in town. Hi, I'm Herman Moore, Lions All-Pro wide receiver, and I'm talking about Eagle Casino and Sports, the real money mobile casino. It's so easy to play. You can go from wager to winner to wallet, just like that.
Sign up now and we'll match your deposit up to $1,500. Or you can get a risk-free bet up to $1,000.
Eagle Casino and Sports. Made in Michigan. Made for Michigan.
Must be 21 or older in Michigan to play.
Van Andel Institute Purple Community is a grassroots fundraising network powered by the dedicated volunteers who support VAI's mission to improve human health now and in the future. When you raise funds through the Van Andel Institute Purple Community, 100% of the proceeds go directly to the Institute's research into diseases like cancer and Parkinson's, as well as VAI's science education programs. Learn how you can get involved at purplecommunity.org.
Back with you on X's and Bros about an hour from now. We will talk more Lions, more NFL. Excited to visit with Ben Raven of MLive. He will join us 8:35 here on X's and Bros. I know we got some texts we want to get to. Just real quick, I don't know about you. I love the underdog story. I think a lot of people gravitate toward underdogs. I think a lot of people sit there, I want to see this team win because I haven't seen them win in a long time. I've made the case, tell me if I'm wrong, or maybe you feel differently. You don't mind if you see some type of team dominate for a long time. Let's call it destiny, or a dynasty, I should say. You don't mind a dynasty, as long as it's your dynasty. You love when the Wings won Stanley Cups 4 years or four times in an 11-year span. You love that stuff. Love the fact that the Pistons went to the NBA Finals three straight years. At some point, people outside of that market say, all right, no more. I'm done with them. They may have felt that about the New England Patriots. Some people may be thinking about that with the Kansas City Chiefs. But I think overall, a lot of people like the underdog. I think people forget Duke and North Carolina and Kentucky in the Final Four. We want somebody else. We want somebody fresh. I don't know if that'll happen with UConn or not, but we want somebody fresh. When you see a guy like Tyrese Maxey, who's the 21st overall pick, score 17 points in the final quarter and make big shot after big shot, a lean-in three to get his team even, or a close to a logo Caitlin Clark-like three to get his team tied up to force overtime, it's pretty cool. Because there's a lot of teams that passed on him. When you see Jalen Brunson, who was a second-round draft pick, dominate, and he does. He dominates the game. When you see him do what he does on a regular basis this year, really the last couple of years, but this year's been his quote-unquote coming-out party, and he had 40 last night, I think it's pretty cool. I may feel differently if it's constant for those guys and they burn my team. It may be a little different. But they haven't. It's not like they prevented the Pistons from going anywhere, so I don't care. If they did, then I might feel differently. But I think those are two really cool stories. Those are really good underdog stories. Meyer Hotline is 866-838-4843. Ben, I know we got some texts.
Yeah, we actually got a caller, too, if you want to go to him.
Okay, let's do that.
Yeah, it's Dave in Hudsonville.
Nice. Dave, thanks for listening in Hudsonville. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Chef. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
You know, as a Tigers fan, a 50-year Tiger fan, or 55 years, but one of the things I appreciate about A.J. Hinch is just much better at bats this year. You know, our roster, and we have a couple of other professional players, and you see like Mark Canha or Gio Urshela and those guys. And last year, we just gave up so many at bats. You know, a lot of guys that couldn't put the bat on the ball. And then you get Perez, who's shocking everyone right now. But you can start to see this team become more competitive and professional, both defensively and just with more professional bats. And certainly our pitching staff has expanded and seems in a better place, too. And then my other topic I wanted to say is, so I think the happiest guy in Michigan athletics is Ward Manuel. And I think Ward Manuel went through some really challenging times with both Jim Harbaugh and Juwan Howard, and it really didn't come out. I think Ward Manuel gets a lot of credit for the national championship because I think at his risk, he kind of embarrassed Harbaugh by cutting his salary, which probably jump-started Harbaugh to go back and pay attention. Then he also had to ride with Manuel. I think Ward Manuel, Michigan's going to go through some tough times because Harbaugh left to get a bag of money and left Michigan holding the bag. But it's whatever means necessary for the national championship. But I think Dusty May is going to rock some things. And Manuel is going to have a better life in front of him.
Let me ask you this. Those are interesting comments. Let's take it one at a time. The Tigers. I find that fascinating. And I give you a lot of credit because you're looking at the at-bats, not the production. Because if you looked at the production, you would say this team offensively is struggling. This team offensively is not good, period. I don't look at batting average. Yeah. You look at slug.
No.
You look at OPS plus. Okay, and OPS plus takes into account where you play the game. It's not just at home. Okay, it's whatever ballpark. Right now, not good. What have you noticed about the at-bats that has left you encouraged besides Canha and Urshela, who seems constantly hurt?
Yeah, one of the things, I think they're taking a lot more pitches. You know, I mean, especially like Riley Green up on top of the order or whatever. Yep. But they have guys now in Canha that are just, they have better professional hitting zones. And, you know, they're not chasing. You know, Jake Rogers still gets a little happy when he pulls the trigger a little early or whatever it may be. But, you know, Jake Rogers still has, you know, gives you some thunder in his bat. But I like Jake Rogers a ton. But with a lot of guys, and Baez is always going to be Baez. He's off the plate and he's going to be chasing. He's going to be sweep swinging. But for the most part, the other guys that they've had, boy, oh boy, I just think the quality of their at-bats as far as the number of pitches they take and the swings they get at balls in the zone have improved.
Okay, that's a really good take. I love it. The only thing I would say is this: Baez being Baez, that's part of your job, is to make sure you change him if it's not working. So yeah. Javier Baez, they made it a point over the last 2 years, they made it a point in the offseason to talk with him and address him about what he needs to do better. And we haven't seen it.
And if we can get Meadows going back with some confidence at the plate, because he's got so many tools. He runs like a deer. And he goes and gets it, and he's got some power. But if Meadows can just go back and start to move the ball and put the bat on the ball, he could be electric too, just, you know, giving him some stuff. Yeah,
no doubt, I mean, especially as a base stealer, 100%. Now, the Michigan thing is interesting because I don't know how much I'm going to give Ward Manuel credit for the national championship. I personally think that's all Jim Harbaugh and his staff. But my frustration a little bit, you know, Dusty May appears to be a very good hire. We'll see, okay? It's too early. But the Juwan Howard hire was not a good one. Tracy Smith as a baseball coach has not been a good one. Brandon Nerado obviously forced your hand because he reached the national championship game his first year. So what are you going to do, fire him? I wonder about the Sherrone Moore, though. And the reason I wonder, I don't think he was going anywhere. I'm not saying he didn't deserve the job. I'm saying I think athletic directors, you got to hire coaches, you got to fundraise, okay? And you got to handle the right coaches. So obviously Juwan Howard was the wrong coach. I don't care what anybody says, it was the wrong coach. No matter his success when he first got there or not, he didn't represent the university well. Sherrone Moore is interesting just from this standpoint. I think you could have gone out and talked to a lot of different candidates and still come to the conclusion that Sherrone Moore is your guy. But did you do enough to at least explore the full gamut of opportunities for that head coach?
Oh, Shep, I agree with you, and I think this too. I think part of the calculus is Michigan's on probation for a while, and they've got the one already from the Harbaugh, you know, recruiting piece, but they're going to get the second one most likely from, you know, the and I think that part of the calculus is, hey, we're going to have somebody, you know, sit through this probation for a few years. You know, why not give it to Sherrone Moore? Let's see what we got. At the end of the day, he can kind of basically keep all the dirty laundry and he holds the bag for what Harbaugh did or under his. I mean, Harbaugh's a great football coach, and yes, they won all the games on their schedule. All credit to them. If you look at their schedule, though, they didn't play a football game last year until game 8, maybe even 9. You know what I mean? And look at their schedule this year compared to last year, but you can only play the games on your schedule. But Harbaugh had a hot mess of an administrative program outside with Jimmy Schembechler, the recruiting thing, you know, Spygate with Connor Stallions. I mean, it was two sides of the house, and one side was a mess. And Harbaugh's arrogance was part of what made Michigan competitive on the field, but I think it's also what created some of this challenge I'll have off the field. But I think Moore's going to hold the bag. And they could have got – nobody else gets that job if those circumstances of the national championship and the probation probably – come that way for him. I think it was a perfect storm.
It's well said. Thank you. Love the call. Appreciate it. Have a great day. It was a fantastic call. I'm not, as far as the, you know, the schedule, you're right. You can only play the schedule in front of you. I think people have to remind themselves, when you schedule games, most of them, the conference is one thing. The reason Michigan's schedule this year is going to be so much more difficult is because look at the teams who've been added to the Big Ten. You already know that. But when you schedule ahead, you don't know what those teams are going to be like when you're scheduling them 4 and 5 years ahead. Now, East Carolina, UNLV, Bowling Green, right? Those are the three teams. Come on. I never knock a team in a Power 5 conference, especially in that division in the Power 5 conference, for trying to get their legs underneath them. In a perfect world, for television and for fandom, because you want your money's worth when you go to the Big House or Spartan Stadium, wherever it may be, you want to see a really good team play. I don't blame you one bit. I'm looking at it from an athletic director and a head coaching situation. I want to make sure my team gets off to a really good start. I don't necessarily need Texas in week 2. That's what they're going to get this year. Now, I'm not suggesting you load your team schedule up with Arkansas State, who they get in week 3. You get a halfway decent team in Fresno State. You do get, I believe Michigan has the first five games at home. Fresno State, Texas, Arkansas State, USC, Minnesota. Those are all at home. Two teams expected to be really tough, Texas and USC, right? Mm-hmm. Although USC just lost their quarterback, right? Caleb Williams gone. So we'll have to wait and see. Minnesota, widely viewed as a less than Big Ten team. So you're getting your test in week two. Fair to say? Absolutely. Last year, when did you get your first test? As he just mentioned, he would say week eight, maybe week nine. Week eight was Michigan State. They beat him 49-0. Week nine was Purdue. They beat him 41-13. That's up to you to determine in your own mind who was the toughest test. Just because Michigan beat the brakes off most of their opponents doesn't mean that it wasn't supposed to be a test. Who knows? It's a great caller. Let's get to some texts. Appreciate it very much. That's one of the best calls I've had ever hosting the show, quite honestly. Somebody who knows what the hell they're talking about and got right to it. Ben?
Yeah.
What else we got?
This one goes back to the Tigers. Says, I wish A.J. Hinch would stop pulling starters early. Flaherty was pitching great, so the philosophy was to pull him out so he doesn't lose a great pitcher. I thought we learned more from adversity in life than babying. I'm tired of it. Kudos to Avila for signing a 16-year-old Perez.
Yes. Once Perez has come into his own. How many is too many? Jack Flaherty had 93 pitches. I don't know if there's a pitch count. I think it's about how a guy throws. When you only give up two hits, and you've got 14 punch-outs, obviously you're doing something. You're doing something right. You've got them off balance. Is it the third time through? What is it? Well, he has his reasons. In fairness to A.J. Hinch, it sure didn't look like it was the wrong time to pull Jack Flaherty. Does he have to throw a perfect game? Or, I mean, a full game, a complete game? You just don't see that any longer, unfortunately. You got guys in the bullpen who are supposed to, like, I got no problem turning a game over to, in a certain situation, especially the lefty on lefty, Andrew Chafin can get reverse, his reverse splits are really good. So I got no problem going to Chafin and Foley. My question is, if Jason Foley, if the Tigers win that game, are you saying the same thing? You're probably not. But you're saying it because he made the last switch. I have no issue with him going as long as he did. Kyle Gibson was pretty damn good. Marmol pulled him after right around the same number of pitches, 98. He lasted seven innings. So he got one more out than Jack Flaherty. What's the big deal? I'm not saying that this, the texter is saying this, but I want it back the way it used to be too. I want starters to go longer. You have 13 pitchers now on a team. Okay? I would love to see more pitchers throw complete games like it used to be. You don't see that anymore. For some reason or another, you just don't see complete games. Excuse me. It's bothersome. I don't get it. I really don't. But they don't, you know, all this taxing of the arms. You talk to some old school guys and they'll say, you know what, here's what you do. Stop throwing so much in the offseason. Wait for a little bit. Let your arm rest. Different studies, different philosophies for different teams and different coaching staffs. But I understand the frustration. I really do. I just don't think that I think you have certain guys in certain situations for a reason. Think of this. There's only six men, it's early, six men who've thrown a complete game so far this year. That's it. Six. Last year, do you know what the league leader was in complete games? This will frustrate the living hell out of you. Complete games. Who led Major League Baseball in complete games? Any idea? There were two. In 2023, Sandy Alcantara from Miami started 28 games, completed three. The other was Jordan Lyles. Who? Jordan Lyles of Kansas City. Three complete games. Those were your leaders in Major League Baseball. How far or how big of a difference that truly is? Or is it? Because in 1990, it's a long time ago, but in 1990, the league leader in complete games was Ramon Martinez with 12. We're not going back to Mickey Lolich. I hate to tell you, even though you and I probably would like that. 1980, Rick Langford led all of baseball in complete games with 28. He completed as many games in 1980 as Sandy Alcantara started a year ago. There's your perspective. That's how different it is today. Quick timeout. Back with the final hour of X's and Bros right after this.
April showers brought May flowers and so much more to Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. Winnings are in bloom every Friday in May. Every hour from 3 p.m. to 11 p.m., two lucky guests will have the chance to pick a flower from the bouquet of premium play. Your next win is only a petal away. You could win up to $2,000 in premium play. Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort, your getaway reimagined. Visit SoaringEagleCasino.com for complete rules and details.
Huge here for my good friends from Flying Ace Whiskey. Now it's an American-made whiskey bottled right here in our great state of Michigan. And Flying Ace Whiskey has partnered with the Folds of Honor Michigan chapter to help Michigan children of men and women injured or killed in combat, and also the children of our first responders who are injured or die and making the ultimate sacrifice while serving and protecting. And there's a simple, easy way for you to donate with that money going to the Folds of Honor Michigan chapter. Look for the Flying Ace Whiskey bottle neckers on bottles all across the state of Michigan here over the next couple of weeks, and you can donate, and that money will go directly to the Folds of Honor Michigan program on behalf of Flying Ace Whiskey. And also, Flying Ace Whiskey has put up four scholarships for the children. Flying Ace Whiskey, an American-made whiskey, taking a lot of pride in America. Look for it in stores and pubs all across Michigan.
We're teeing off our 10th year at the Meijer LPGA Classic for Simply Give. Get ready for the best tour yet to help neighbors in need while enjoying golf, food, and family fun. Join us June 13th through the 16th at Blythefield Country Club for fabulous food, Discoveryland for kids, and of course, elite women golfers from around the world competing to help feed our neighbors. Get your tickets now at MeijerLPGAClassic.com.